small cloud hung over the table. For a second or two, Vitola looked merely human-sized and much older. He stared at the small pile of cash in front of him.
"Only, you see, there is this child,"
said Granny, indicating the baby in Nanny Ogg's arms.
"And he needs a home."
The Vitola stared. Then the man sighed.
"It's no life for a child,"
he said.
"Always moving, always a new town, and no room for schooling. They say it's very important these days."
But his eyes didn't look away. Mrs. Vitola said, "Why does he need a home?"
"He hasn't got one," said Granny. "At least, not one where he would be welcome."
The silence continued. Then Mrs. Vitola said, "And you, who ask this, you are by way of being his..."
"Godmothers,"
said Nanny Ogg promptly. Granny was slightly taken aback. It would never have occurred to her. Vitola played abstractedly with the coins in front of him. His wife reached out across the table and touched his hand, and there was a moment of unspoken communion. Granny looked away. She had grown expert at reading faces, but there were times when she preferred not to.
"Money is, alas, tight,"
Vitola began.
"But it will stretch,"
said his wife firmly.
"Yes, I think it will. We should be happy to take care of him."
Granny nodded and fished in the deepest recesses of her cloak. At last, she produced a small leather bag, which she tipped out onto the table. There was a lot of silver, and even a few tiny gold coins.
"This should take care of," she groped. "Nappies and such like. Clothes and things, whatever."
"A 100 times over, I should think,"
said Vitola weakly.
"Why didn't you mention this before?"
"If I'd had to buy you, you wouldn't be worth the price."
"But you don't know anything about us," said Mrs. Vitola.
"We don't, do we?" said Granny calmly. "Naturally, we'd like to hear how he gets along. You could send us letters and such like. But it would not be a good idea to talk about all this after you've left, you see, for the sake of the child."
Mrs. Vitola looked at the two old women. "There's something else, isn't there?" she said. "Something big behind all this." Granny hesitated and then nodded. "But it would do us no good at all to know it?" Another nod. Granny stood up as several actors came in, breaking the spell. Actors had a habit of filling all the space around them.
"I have other things to see to," she said. "Please excuse me."
"What's his name?"
said Vitola.
"Tom,"
said Granny, hardly hesitating.
"John,"
said Nanny. The two witches exchanged glances. Granny won.
"Tom John,"
she said firmly, and swept out. She met a breathless McGrath outside the door. "I found a box," she said. "It had all the crowns and things in, so I put it in, like you said, right underneath everything."
"Good,"
said Granny. "Our crown looked really tatty compared to the others."
"Just goes to show, doesn't it?" said Granny. "Did anyone see you?"
"No, everyone was too busy, but..." McGrath hesitated. She blushed.
"Out with it, girl."
"Just after that, a man came up and pinched my bottom." McGrath went a deep crimson and slapped her hand over her mouth.
"Did he?"
said Granny.
"And then what?"
And then...
"Yes?"
He said...
"What did he say?"
"He said,
'Hello, my lovely. What are you doing tonight?'"
Granny ruminated on this for a while and then said,
"Old Goody Wemper. She didn't get out and about much, did she?"
"It was her leg, you know," said McGrath.
"But she taught you all